This is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University and its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. I'm Jacob Williams, a sophomore history major. During the Cold War, communism and colonialism were far more intertwined than most people believe. I'm speaking today with Shane McGuire, a history major at James Madison University and author of the paper, Clinging to Empire, British Support for France in the Algerian War and in the Post-World War II World. What are the general premise and historical context of your paper?
Well, following World War II, the old imperialist powers such as France and Britain especially were taxed and stripped for cash and unable to really hold on to their colonial empires. To them, this was a problem because of the growing power of the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc in general. And there was a great fear among them that the Soviet Union was actually funding rebellion and dissent amongst their colonial subjects. This, plus the fact that they just wanted to hold on to their imperial conquests, fueled a desire to keep them, and so led to brutal revolts like the French Indochina War, the Algerian War, or the Mau Mau Revolt in Kenya against Britain.
Okay. Very interesting. Did you have any prior knowledge on the Algerian War, or what influences did you have when choosing your topic?
I already knew some about the Algerian War, in as much as it was kind of like a French version of Vietnam in the desert, and I wanted to know a little more. Also, one of my professors in a previous history class showed us a movie at the end of the semester called The Battle of the Kasbah, which is about the Algerian War, specifically in the city of Algiers. And I remember I really enjoyed that, and it sort of piqued my interest in this topic.
Awesome. Okay. Since your paper is on the British support of the French during the Algerian War, what were some of the main ideas behind the support, and what, if anything, were the British hoping to accomplish?
In supporting the French in Algeria, the British were really trying to help prevent what they perceived to be a communist takeover in the country. There was this great fear, like I said before, of the Soviet Union funding and supporting rebel causes, rebel nationalist causes. And so the British saw a lot of these rebellions as fights not only against them, but fights against the Soviet Union, between the West and the Soviet Union.
Okay. How big exactly was the British fear of a communist takeover in Algeria?
Well, you have to keep in mind the political climate of the post-World War II world and the Cold War world. Nowadays, we look at it and we know what's happening on either side of the Iron Curtain, in the Soviet Union and in the West. But back then, because the Soviet Union was so secretive, people in the West really didn't know what they were doing. All they knew was what they knew from World War II and from what the Soviet Union was doing. So what they saw was this massive, powerful, unending sort of tide that was supporting communism. And they also knew that the Soviet Union was working to expand its influence into the Third World.
Okay.
So former British and French, especially British and French colonies, like in the Middle East and in Africa. Those were two big areas where the Soviet Union was trying to expand its influence. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid of this because they were seeing what they perceived to see was the Soviet Union slowly surrounding Europe from Africa and from the East with their own allies and client states.
Gotcha. Given your research, from a British point of view, would you say that the effort to fight communism was more important than holding on to old imperialist possessions, or vice versa? And which would you say was the most prevailing?
I would say that the two are not at all mutually exclusive. They were really intertwined with each other. So the general idea was, we want to keep our colonial possessions because they are ours. But we also want to keep them because they can help provide a bulwark against the spread of communism. So there is still the old attitude of the colonials are inferior to us, and you do see that a lot with the writings of the time. Because the general fear was, if we let them go, then they're not smart enough to realize that communism actually isn't that good, and they're just going to eat it up because it sounds great, because Soviet propaganda sounds really good.
Okay.
And so you really see that they want to hold on to colonies, mm-hmm, because of a mixture of old imperialist attitudes combined with a fear of the Soviet Union's expanding influence.
Okay.
This was also not helped by the fact that the Soviet Union tended to pledge not necessarily material or military, but moral support for a lot of the nationalist movements.
Okay.
So like in Kenya and Indochina, mm-hmm, Vietnam, and other places in Africa,
mm-hmm,
they would even invite delegations from these nationalist movements to either Beijing or Moscow, depending on the time period, whether it's before or after the Sino-Soviet split. And so there was a great amount of fear around this perceived Soviet aggression against them.
Okay. Because of the connections you made between de Gaulle's call for peace and the white man's burden, would you say the French, even in the 1960s, considered themselves superior to the Algerians?
Well, what was happening was, by about 1960, the Fourth French Republic was kind of falling apart because of the Algerian War. Like, there was a lot of political dissidence, kind of like what was going on in America during the height of the Vietnam War, especially after the Tet Offensive.
Okay.
And so what the government did was they actually called back Charles de Gaulle to take over leading the government, because he actually had a movement behind him called Gaullism, which is still kind of around today.
Okay.
And the reason that this was important was because Gaullism wasn't a set, like, political ideology.
Okay.
It was more like a coalition of people from all over the political spectrum who sort of rally around Charles de Gaulle personally and around his sort of more wide-ranging ideas around, okay, government. And so what he actually did was he basically called on the FLN, that's, mm-hmm, the nationalist movement in Algeria.
Okay.
And he called on them to, like, have a truce. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily peace, but just a ceasefire between them so that they could work out things.
Okay.
And try and work out things peacefully.
Okay.
And this was actually coined the Peace of the Brave. And there was a lot of support in this, for the Peace of the Brave in Britain, because what the British saw was a bunch of ungrateful children, basically, revolting against their parents.
Okay.
And so, also from a French perspective, you tend to see the idea that the FLN and the Algerians should accept this Peace of the Brave because they need France to help them get to the point where they can rule themselves. So, like, one of the major sticking points for this was people talking about the population in Algeria, mm-hmm, being about 8 million,
okay,
native Algerians, and only about 2 million of them would have been farmers. And so this main argument was that they have 8 million people, but there's only a fourth of them that are farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to know how to feed themselves without our help to organize this.
Okay.
So you really do see that they view themselves as superior. Europeans in general are still viewing themselves as superior to their colonial subjects, because they don't even trust them to know how to feed themselves, let alone govern themselves.
Okay.
Combine that with the fact that they were afraid of their colonial subjects falling under the sway of communism. And it's sort of this climate for the opinion to develop, the opinion of, you know, we know better than you, we're smarter than you, we know, mm-hmm, what to do, you don't, and you need our help still.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Studio 395. More interviews on a wide range of historical topics and subscriptions to our podcast are available on our show page at http://sites.jmu.edu/studio395. To learn about the history major at James Madison University, please visit www.jmu.edu/history.